Right now, you're listening to the Azeem Digital Asks podcast, the podcast where I, Azeem, talk to some of the top marketers in the industry, find out everything about them, how they got to where they are today, and more importantly, sharing some really useful marketing tips that will help everybody listening to this become better marketers. Stay tuned for another great episode. Hello, welcome back to the Azeem Digital Asks podcast. Really excited for this episode today. I've got a great guest and we're talking all about luxury marketing. My guest is Elizabeth Solaru and I've been doing some reading up on this incredible woman and what a journey in her career she has had. She was previously a cake maker in the luxury market and then she had two other successful careers which seemed diametrically opposed. Those are her words, so I'm not going to steal any more and give her the opportunity to speak. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here and thank you for asking me.
You are more than welcome. Really excited to learn a lot more from you. But before we find out what those two careers are and you give yourself a better introduction, always ask my guests an icebreaker for yourself. It's that if a movie was made of your life, which Hollywood star would play the lead role?
Definitely Tara G. Henson. Although for looks, I would have loved Halle Berry, but I've got to be realistic and say for sheer acting chops and range and personality is Tara G. Henson.
Standard. Cannot argue with that. I was going to ask you why, but you've perfectly nailed it. So yeah. Welcome to the show. For anybody who doesn't know who you are, would you like to give a better introduction to yourself?
Yes, I'm Elizabeth Solaru and I run two businesses. One is Elizabeth's Cake Emporium and the other is the Luxury Business Emporium. And what I do in a nutshell is to help people who want to market in the luxury space. I help them to market themselves in the luxury space. And I help find them clients. So that's what I do in a nutshell.
Awesome. So personally, I'm really excited to learn more about this because it's not an area that I know a lot about. And the only time that I'd ever experienced somebody talking about luxury marketing standard, it was an older white man. And he was like, I talk to these people. This is how much they're worth. Do you know what that's like? No, you don't. So I'm really excited to learn more. From yourself. So look, let's kick it off and let's just start from the beginning. So what is luxury marketing?
Okay, so luxury marketing is like marketing, but slightly different. And what do I mean by that? In luxury marketing, you've got to put the luxury client at the center. And then I then go back a bit and I say, who is the luxury client? And then from a bit of research that I've done and also from my personal experience of selling to the luxury market, and I've sold to different cultures, different countries, different types of people all around the world, I then realized that you can nail down the luxury client into 5 to 7 different types. So you need to know the types of clients in order to market to them accordingly. It's not mass marketing. It's about you saying to yourself, these are people who are, there's more to the luxury client than more than just having money. Because a lot of people think, okay, luxury client, they've got money. Yes, they do. However, psychologically, each category is completely different in how they think, how they act, and more importantly, how they buy. And then I can tell you about that a bit later on.
Awesome. That's brilliant. So yeah, look, thank you very much for sharing that. I'm really looking forward to learning more all around that topic. How would you say then that luxury marketing differs from traditional marketing? I know you sort of touched on it there, but what are the main sort of differences that you found?
Right. In traditional marketing, so for example, let's just use a common tool that we all use. So for example, traditional marketing, we would use Google, we would look at how people search, we would look at buyer intention, what do they mean when they want to buy, blah, 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 blah. In luxury marketing, it's a lot more difficult because the common denominator is that for many luxury clients, they already know what they want. They already know what they need. It's just a question of, do I want to buy it? They know, okay, I've got all the money in the world and I want to buy a handbag. I want to buy a black handbag. So it's just a matter of choosing the right brand for them. And therein lies one of the tricks of luxury marketing, because it's not enough for they're not going to go on Google and go, I want to buy a black bag. They will go on Google and type something completely different. So it could be something like, do I choose an Hermes over Chanel, or the Hermes collection 2027? So it's a lot more specific in their intention, and it's a lot more nuanced as well. And through my research, I discovered a lot of little tricks that people who want to market to the luxury sector, things that they can deploy. So that essentially is one of the differences between luxury marketing and bog standard marketing.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing that. I already know that the listeners' ears will sort of prick up when they hear that, because some of the things you've mentioned there about researching keywords on Google and the types of queries that come in and how different they are, that is amazing. So you're obviously someone who's very experienced in this area, and that comes from knowing your craft and refining it. I imagine along the way, there's probably been hiccups and mistakes that you've made along the way. Are there any mistakes that you've made along the way that you'd be comfortable in sharing when you've been marketing to rich clients?
Oh, absolutely. I've made tons of mistakes, and I'm not going to share any of them at all. So the first mistake I made, and I'll talk about a couple. So the first one was trying to apply mass marketing techniques. So I kept shoehorning myself into the middle market. So if you look at the marketing as a pyramid, you've got mass marketing at the bottom, which is the fat bottom. And then at the very top, you've got the marketing to like the 1% of the 1%. I was trying to market to the middle because I didn't quite understand or have the self-belief when it came to my own products. And I didn't quite understand what made my own product at the time, what made it different. So there I was, you know, getting frustrated that people were not biting. And the turning point for me was 2013. There was a little bit of a hiccup stroke mini recession going on in 2013. And the luxury sector in my industry got hit. And a lot of my colleagues were actually creating cheaper options and diffusion ranges. And something in my head just clicked. And I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to triple my prices. And that's what I did. I actually went the opposite way to everybody else. And I tripled my prices. And I found that I got the kind of clients that I wanted all along. So that was another lesson in terms of, but to triple my prices, I carried out an exercise, which was the second thing I did. So I literally looked at my product. I went through all my testimonials. I went through everything anyone had ever said about my products, and I wrote down certain keywords about my products. And then I found the common phrases, and then I based my marketing around that. And then I also did something called targeted marketing. So it was literally me saying, who's the best of the best in this particular industry, and who's going to be a fantastic ambassador and a fantastic salesperson, for lack of a better word. And I literally marketed to them on an individualized basis. So I literally was customizing every piece of marketing material that I was sending out. And that was when it occurred to me that personalization and individualization cannot be underestimated. So there's some of the things that I did.
That is fascinating. Thank you very much for sharing. Taking mental notes, and I'm already thinking back to when I edit this, just nodding away like, yep, spot on. So yeah, this is gold. You touched on it a little bit there about how you sort of attract rich clients and how you sort of carved your way and tripled your prices in a recession, which is amazing. So side note, any freelancers listening now during COVID, triple your prices because it works. Going back to the point that you mentioned about attracting rich clients, so are there any tips that you can share with the listeners who are considering, you know, moving into this market and talking to rich clients and potentially attracting them? How do you do that?
Okay, so I mentioned earlier that there are at least 7 different types, but I'm going to talk about the top 5 that would actually spend money with you. So you need to put them into different categories. So when I get an inquiry, for example, from the tone, from the inquiry, if, for example, let me give a practical example, happened today. If somebody comes at you going, how much is XYZ? I know exactly where they're coming from. They are driven by, they're motivated by cost. And most likely they might not be my ideal client. So there are five different types. So type number one, I call them the aspirationals. They love luxury. They know all the labels. You know, they aspire to buying a particular product. So for them, their hero is somebody like Kim Kardashian, for example. They might be an influencer or whatever. But, you know, they're aspirationals. And in that category is where you're going to find the most diversity in terms of culture, in terms of gender, color, etc. So that's type number one. Type number two is what I call the innovators. So your innovative luxury client will be somebody like Elon Musk, for example. He's ideal. A bit crazy, very frustrating to work for because he wants something that nobody else has ever done. So you need to be a risk taker to take him on. And it can either work 100% or you can fail spectacularly. But with a client like that, you need to manage expectations and tell them that and say, this might fail. So for example, when I do my cakes and somebody wants a 20-tier cake, I'll go, yep, I'm happy to make it happen, but these are the pitfalls. So Elon Musk is innovator. Then third category are people who are driven by aesthetics. So I call them aesthetically driven. It's all about the look. The bag has got to be exactly right. The shoes, you know, everything. And they're very much into straight lines. They're very much into interior design. They love everything just so. So when they approach you, even your emails, your marketing, your messaging, your imagery in particular needs to be absolutely fabulous. As in, you know, they will spot every flaw. So you need to be aware of that. Then the next category, which is category number four, is what I call the knows and shows. So they know all the labels. They're on first name terms with every designer going. And they're very much about, oh, guess what? You know, I bought this and I'm the only person who has this, or this is the latest Hermes, or this is the latest Chanel, or there's only two of it in the world. So when you talk about your products, you need to talk about, you're the only person who's going to have this. This is going to be for you. Blah. So the language needs to be completely different. Now, the fifth category, and this is my favorite category because I'm very, very comfortable with this particular client. They are what I call the comfort first. So to them, it's not about money. It's how they feel about you, how comfortable they are with you. They don't care about labels, although they do buy a lot from labels. They're more about quality. They're more about your personality. And most importantly, whether they can trust you, because they're very, very private. So if they invite you to their private jet or their yacht or, you know, within their personal space, you need to demonstrate respect. And I really, really mean that. You need to keep your mouth shut and everything. You need to offer to sign non-disclosures to say, you know, when I meet such clients, I literally go with my own and I give it to them. And I would say, this is something I've constructed on your behalf. Show it to your lawyers. I'm happy to sign anything. 9 times out of 10, I've never signed anything with this particular category of client that I call comfort first. And in that category, you'd have royalty. You would have old money. You would have people that many, many people are not even conscious of, because they're not showy, they're really, really private. So those in a nutshell are the five different client types when it comes to luxury clients. There's a couple more, and that's to do with generational. There's another classification I use based on money as well, but for the purpose of this podcast, those are the five different archetypes that I tend to use.
That is fascinating. So interesting. Thank you very much for sharing that. The listeners can't see, but I'm just sitting here nodding away like, wow. I'm thinking, and I'm sure the listeners will too, that it's obvious you're very experienced in this area and you've probably built this up over a number of years. So for me, the first question is, over how many years have you built up this experience? And then I suppose the second one, which I'll wrap into that, is if there are people listening to this who are considering moving into this market, what advice would you give to them if they're just considering starting out?
Okay, so first part of your question, I've been doing this for about 15 years now. 15 years I've been doing this because prior to that, I was a headhunter. So I applied the same principles that I did in that job when I moved into working for myself as a cake maker. Because when you think of cakes, you know, I know Bake Off has made everything quite, you know, has made baking quite popular now. But when I started, Bake Off wasn't even around. And I actually did a program with the person who had the idea for Bake Off, but didn't quite see it through. So this was something I had to pick up and learn along the way and then study people, because in order to market to people, you need to study your subject so well that you know you can anticipate their needs and their wants way before they can. So if anyone is starting out and you wish to get into the luxury market, the first thing I would say is you need to look at what you're offering, your product, and you need to tear it apart. You know, the friends, I mean, a lot of people talk about these friends that are kind of like frenemies and have bad things to say about their products. This is where they come in handy, because you need those friends to literally tear apart your product. You need to analyze your product, your offering, because sometimes if something is our baby, we become blinkered. We think, oh my God, you know, I offer the best, and like, no, you don't. In my particular industry, there are people who are better than I am, and there are people who are worse than I am. However, I made sure that my brand and my name is first, you know, is presence of mind when people are thinking of high-end. So some of the things I've done, for example, just to give people practical examples, some of the things I've done is when I organize product shots for my products, I realized I had to study the psychology of photography, the psychology of color. And then I realized that there are three or four different types of photography. But when it comes to luxury photography, you need to pick your photographer so well. Because if you think about it, when we look at fashion shows and a Vogue magazine or magazines, everything appears flawless. It's so flawless. It's so beautifully done. That is key. Even if you haven't got much money, because everything I do, I've had to do on a shoestring, because I don't come from money. And, you know, I certainly wasn't earning loads and loads. If you can pick an amazing photographer who has an eye for detail and color and understands your product really well, you're halfway there. A second thing is how you style your product as well, and how you make sure that your brand is associated with brands that are considered to be luxury. So those are some of the tips that I would say, that if you're starting out, start high. Don't bother starting low. Just start, aim high and see how far you go.
That is another fantastic answer. Thanks very much. I'm really learning lots from you. So personally from me, thank you very much. I have a couple more for you, and then sadly we will be coming to the end of the podcast. And here's one I've just thought of off the back of what you've just said. So imagine now that a competitor comes into your space and wants to try and talk to the same sort of people who you are already talking to. What is your process when you're dealing with competition and competitors?
Right, that's a fantastic question. Because, you know, in my particular industry, the barrier to entry is very, very low. There is a lot of competition. And in fact, people will copy. You know, we don't particularly trademark or protect our designs. So people can come in and copy. But I always say to people, when it comes to competition, let them talk to, you know, if they want to talk to, you know, and it's happened to me, if they want to talk to, you know, your ideal client, let them. But your messaging, the one thing you need to keep putting out, and also you'd have clients who would come to you and say, but we've spoken to XYZ and XYZ isn't charging, or XYZ isn't doing what you're doing or whatever, you need to be able to, this is where luxury is slightly different. I would always imagine in my head what somebody like Coco Chanel would say. If somebody came to Coco Chanel and go, well, your competitor is going to do me the suit for cheaper, she would say, then go to them then. You know, why are you here with me? Obviously, you know, you put it in more polite terms, but you would say, personally, what I've said to clients is, I completely understand if you choose the other option. I completely, because sometimes there's that reverse psychology that makes people want you. And you should be able to say, at this point in time, it doesn't look like, you know, I will be able to work with you. However, if you want to come back in the future, I'll be more than happy to welcome you back. So you should be confident enough to say, this is what I provide. This is the value that I provide, and you will not get another me. There is a reason why you keep coming back. If my competitor was all that, you would definitely go to, you know, it'll be a no-brainer to go to them. But there's a reason you keep coming back. It goes back to when I was a headhunter, and whenever I pitched for a job, some of the clients would say something like, assuming you don't get the job today, which one of your competitors would you recommend for the job? And I remember I made it was just a quick, and I said, well, I wouldn't recommend any of them, because I wouldn't want you to have second best. So my point is, yeah, exactly. So my point is, if I'm the gold standard and I'm the yardstick, and that's how you position yourself, if I'm the yardstick and the gold standard, why do you want to keep comparing, you know, other people to me? Because I'm the gold standard. So if you're comparing them to me, why not just come to me? So that is the difference when you're marketing to luxury.
Love that. Thank you very much. So many mental notes I'm taking here. I'm already, as I've said earlier, I'm already looking forward to editing this. Well, there's been lots of takeaways from this episode, to be honest. But if you could narrow it down to a sort of handful of takeaways, people listening to this episode, what do you want them to take away from this episode with you?
First thing is, anyone can come into the luxury market. It doesn't have to be your stereotypical XYZ, you know, like you described earlier on. And you don't have to come from luxury to serve the luxury market. However, you do need to upskill yourself. You need to educate yourself. You need to be able to talk about different subjects. So you need to know if you're marketing to a particular person. So for example, if I was going to be marketing to somebody like Elon Musk, and I don't know anything about his Teslas, I don't know anything about his vision for the future, I need to know about his likes, dislikes, passions, his failures. I need to, if he's talking anywhere, I need to be there so I can listen to him. And more importantly, I need to understand the language that he uses, because if he uses certain phrases and language, I need to make sure I put that in my marketing to him, because there's no point in using a language that he doesn't quite understand. So this is where the individualization and personalization comes in, because the payoff for you is that you're going to earn a lot of money by serving their needs. So you need to work for that money. So I always say that luxury costs, and here is where you start paying in value. It's a thing I stole from Fame, you know, the movie Fame. I watched it the first time round. Yeah, I watched it the first time round. And then she said something like, fame costs, and here's where you start paying in hard work. So again, luxury, you know, it costs. It takes a lot out of you, because to deliver to that level in terms of skill is not an easy thing. And clients are fussy and they are demanding, and they do have a right to be fussy and demanding until you can demonstrate your trust. So key takeaways for me is, you know the language, know the sector, know your own product. Because many people, when you say to them, what is your USP? What makes you stand out? They start talking generic. And I'm like, no, quality is expected. Delivery is expected. You know, some of the things are givens, but what makes you you? So you need to drill down to the essence of you and what you're given. So those are some of the key takeaways that I would advise your listeners.
Amazing. What an episode, Elizabeth. Thank you very much for giving up an evening and sharing some absolute knowledge bombs with me. If there are people listening to this who wanted to find out more about you, or to get in touch with you, or to sort of follow you on social media, how can they do that? What are your details?
Right. You can find me. Website is called the Luxury Business Emporium. And my Instagram is at Luxury Business Emporium. I'm also on Clubhouse as at Lux Biz Emporium. So again, Google Luxury Business Emporium and I'm there. I offer coaching, I offer mentoring. And it's something I'm very, very passionate about because I know that there are so many talented people out there who want to serve the luxury market. However, either you know, it's either they're scared or no one's really shown them how to do it. And a lot of the, when you think of luxury, you're thinking of the really, really big brands. But there are very small independent brands that have managed to do it and have done it successfully. So more than happy for anyone who wants to contact me to go through yourselves or to just find me on social media.
Amazing. Thank you. This is the part of the podcast where I say, well, firstly, I'll say I'm about to shut up and let you have the final say on your episode. But from me personally, you can listen back to many of my episodes. I think for me, this particular episode is one of the ones that I've done that's made me think, yes, I'm really glad I started this podcast because it's something that I don't know a lot about. And in less than 30 minutes, I've picked up so much information from you and I just know the listeners will. So from me to you, massive thank you. It's been amazing. This is the part where I shut up now. So within reason, the last word on your episode goes to you. So take it away.
I just want to say thank you so much, Azeem, for inviting me on. As I said to you earlier on, this for me, appearing on podcasts is quite new. And I'm so glad that I saw your tweet. So thank you so much for that. And people don't realize that part of marketing is being able to take risks, calculated risks, and doing things that align with your brand values. And this is one of them. So even if only one person listening is helped by this, is inspired and motivated, that for me is a job well done. So my final word is thank you so much for this. Thank you for doing this and continue to do this. And I will continue to support you in any way that I can. So thank you.
So that was another great episode in the bag. I'm really enjoying hearing from some brilliant people in this industry. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow me on Spotify. Please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you are using. Tell a friend to tell a friend and hopefully see you for the next episode.